You are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Jesus, we love you and we are thankful for today. This is the day that you have made, and we will purpose to rejoice and to be glad in it. God, our hearts and our spirits and our bodies, our minds say thank you for all that you have done for us today already in our worship and our prayer and our praise. I pray, Lord, now that you would stir inside of our spirit an anticipation about what you will speak through the power of your word. I pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. I pray that you would give us a mind that is able to comprehend what you are speaking, and the courage to do what you are speaking. Holy Spirit, I pray that each and every heart and life will be touched this morning, not by my words, but by the power of your Holy Ghost and the anointing that breaks every yoke and breaks every bondage and empowers every individual to do and to be what you have asked them to do and what you've asked them to be. And so, God, we present this time before you and we ask that you would bless it, that it would be empowered, that it would be relevant, that it would be real for where we are living our life today. In Jesus' name, can you say with me, amen. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 14. I know you're struggling to read, and that's the point. Good job. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give praise to your Father who is in heaven. A little bit of my paraphrase going on right there, but that's okay. You get the idea. You understand our text this morning. As we begin our series today, this series is called Shine Your Light. And it is not complicated necessarily, the context of the title, about what we're talking about. In accordance to the scriptures, I've got a lamp on a stand today. And we all recognize and understand what I was going for. Now, I couldn't get exactly what I was going for because there's this beautiful thing called light, and darkness can never get rid of all of it. Okay? And I don't want to get ahead in my message this morning, but how many of us know that we are glad that darkness can never fully eliminate the light? Come on, somebody say amen. And so I didn't black out the windows and I didn't turn off all the lights, but most of the lights are off. And so I hope you get what I'm shooting for. A lamp on its stand does what a lamp on its stand is supposed to do. It shines its light. And the Word of God tells us that as it gives its light, it gives light to everyone that is in the house. And so as we unpack this series of verses today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, as we unpack this today, I'd like us to keep in mind a couple of words. If you're taking notes or writing, and if you can see to do so, I want you to write down the words power and authority. Somebody say power. Okay, that was lame. Now, if I would have asked you to say lame, I would have expected that kind of response. You know I'm kidding. You can see me smiling. All right, you see me smiling. Okay. Come on, somebody say power.
Power.
Yeah, like you mean it, right? Somebody say authority. Yes, I love it. That's the way we should be saying power and authority. I want you to write those words down. I want you to remember those words, because as we unpack these verses today, I want us to unpack them with the context of power and authority. Because light, as we will discover in just a little while, light has power. Light has authority. This video stated that even the smallest light pierces the dark. We know that light has power. Light becomes a very valuable commodity when you are stuck in the dark. How many of us Northwesterners, how many of us Washingtonians have ever been, how many of us Clark Countyites have ever been inside the eight caves up by Mount St. Helens? Let me see some hands. Okay, if you don't know what dark is, the eight caves are dark. You get into spots where there is almost no light whatsoever. And you realize when you are in darkness that light, no matter how big or how small, is a very valuable commodity when you are in the darkness. Because light has power. Light is effective. Light has authority over the darkness. The video also stated, when your light shines, it can change the world. Light makes a difference. Light changes things. And in the context of the eight caves, or the context I've tried to kind of create a little bit today, we can see immediately that light makes a difference. Light changes things. But let's be honest, when we think about the context of the world, how many of you, like me, would struggle to think that if you were a light, that your light really makes the difference in the kind of world that we live in? The vastness of the billions of people that live on planet Earth. Does your life really make a difference? Does your light really make a difference? And yet we say yes, and we believe yes, and there are times when we wonder if it really does. But I want to do something today. I pray the Holy Spirit does something in you today that stirs something inside of you, that the power of the Holy Ghost that indwells within you would say, my life, my light indeed does make a difference, and I will let this little light shine like we sang in kids' church. Come on, somebody. It is difficult, though, at times to really, really believe that what I've just said is true, that our life really does make a difference. If we're all just really, really brutally honest, we wonder how big of a difference can we really make? I am just one light. I am just one person. Nevertheless, Jesus says in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world. He continues to break it down, and he states in that same section of verses, verse 14, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. He also says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. He says, no, in verse 15, they put it on a stand and it gives light to all of the house. That's where we were supposed to have, there they are. See, that was supposed to be the unawkward transition to get all the lights back on, and where we all just kind of didn't fall asleep anymore. And so I just went ahead for you and made it extremely awkward. You're welcome. Jesus says that the light does what the light is supposed to do when you put it on its stand, and it gives light to the entire house. Because light does what light does. He goes on to say, in the same way, listen to that, in the same way that one light made its difference, or that many lights made that difference. Listen, in the same exact way. Are we getting that? In the same exact way, let your light shine before men. Your light was not meant to be hidden. Your light was not meant to be put under a basket. Your light was not meant to be put underneath a bed. Your light was not meant to be hidden in your pocket. Your light was not meant to be hidden in your coat. Your light was meant to shine. Your life was meant to live. Your life was meant to live as a testimony of the grace and the power, the redemption, the forgiveness, the wholeness, the righteousness of a God who called you while you were still a sinner and said, I love you enough to die for you, and I'm going to fill you with my light so that you can let your light shine. In the same way that this light casts its light, this light does not complain about the filament size. This light does not complain about its shape or its roundness or its skinniness. This light does not complain about its IQ or lack thereof, because it can't. This light, you get what I'm trying to do. This light does not complain because this light was built to shine. Some of us, myself included, are really, really good at telling God all the reasons why we can't shine. God, my faith is not strong enough. My light is not bright enough. I am the wrong shape. I am the wrong size. I am not tall enough, or I am short, or I am not I am too tall, or I am on and on and on. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not holy enough. I'm just not righteous enough. And I think sometimes God in His grace, if He was like me, and thank God that God is not like me, somebody said amen. But you know, if it was me, sometimes you would just want to grab you by the face and say, listen, stop, please, stop. You're missing the point. You're missing who I have created you to be. And that person that you see in the mirror, in all of your insecurities and all of your infallibilities and all of the things that are not right and not perfect, I see as right and I see as perfect. I've built you just the way you are, and I've built you to let your light shine, because it is light shining in darkness that makes the difference in a world that is enveloped by the darkness. And we shine our light so that people can see us. Now, if that is not a little bit... anybody else uncomfortable with that? Just a little? Okay, just me. Good, good. Okay, well, let me explain to you why I am really uncomfortable with that. And maybe I'll get some of you on board. Liars who didn't raise your hand anyway. God says, let your light shine before men so that they may see you, your good works. The problem, why I get uncomfortable, is that I'm not necessarily what some would call perfect. I have this little thing called a sin nature. I have this little thing inside of me that is much bigger than I want to admit sometimes, that is at war with other things inside of me. As Paul would say, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I actually do. And if people see me doing the things that I really don't want to do, they might think that I'm a hypocrite. They might think that I am just faking this whole thing. They're going to see how imperfect I am. Well, how many of you now can relate to some of those things that I'm saying? Awesome. Got some more hands. Love it. So it's a scary thing to think that God says, shine your light so that others can see you and the things that you do. But that is God's design. In your imperfections, in your weakness, Paul would say in his writings, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. How many of you have ever been in a situation where your weakness spoke louder than your strength? Why do you think that is? Because God's goodness, God's grace is made perfect in your weakness. And in our weakness, trying to do the things that God has asked us to do and called us to do, people don't always see us. They see God. They see His grace. They see His forgiveness. They see the God who created us, and a person who's trying their hardest to be what God has called them to be. Shine your light so people can see you. John chapter 8, verse 12. You can turn there if you'd like, or you can look on the screen. Matthew 5, Jesus is speaking to his listeners and he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus is speaking, and it says in John 8, 12, that when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, look, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we've got two very interesting scriptures here that we're going to couple together and talk about for a minute. Jesus says, Matthew 5, you, we, us, we are the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, of himself, the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong, who was the perfect Lamb, the sacrifice for our sins, he says of himself, I am the light of the world. He describes himself the same exact way he described you, described me, and described his disciples, and anybody who heard him in the New Testament. He gave us the same exact label to place right on our forehead. I am the light of the world. And Jesus wore the same label. I am the light of the world. Now, I don't know if you're picking up on this yet, but let me just tell you, that is a scary thing to be in the same context as Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He labeled us, described us exactly the same. I am the light of the world. And just like I am the light of the world, my disciples, my believers, my followers, you are the light of the world. That comes with some pretty steep consequences. That comes with some pretty serious ramifications. That is not just simply two different verses of the Bible. This is important and this is serious. We do not just become a Christian to be saved from our sin, although we need to be saved from our sin. Any sinners in the house want to say amen with me? Amen. We need to be saved from our sin, but we are not saved to be solely saved from our sin. We are saved to become like Jesus. We are saved to become like Christ. And so when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to everything about Jesus and his kingdom. When we accept the invitation to come into the kingdom of God, we accept the entirety of the parameters of the kingdom of God. We say yes to the lifestyle that God talks about. We say yes to the things that would honor God and please God. And we say no to the things that would not honor and would not please God. We invite conflict in our life when we say yes to Jesus. We invite the struggle of good and evil. We invite the challenge of being the light of the world, how God has designed it. We invite the challenge of shining our light, no matter the situation, the circumstance, how easy or how difficult. We invite that turmoil upon our life, and we believe by faith that the Holy Spirit will empower us. We're a bunch of weirdos. You know that? In a good way. Weird in the sense that the world, a lot of the world, just does not understand why someone would do that. Why do you think that is? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, you can turn there or the words will be on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the first part of that, says that the God, little g, the God of this world or of this age, has blinded the eyes of people so that they cannot see the light of the glory of God. Now, out of the first seven verses of 2 Corinthians 4, that's kind of the theme that you will get. That Paul says that we have been given this gift in earthen vessels so that we could then impart it to other people. So you know, where does this leave us? What does this mean? What are our responsibilities? What are the ramifications of all of this? 2 Corinthians 4 begins to break it down for us, and we realize that in these imperfect bodies, we hold the power and the authority of the light of the gospel. In these earthen vessels, Paul will call them in 2 Corinthians 4, in these broken, earthen, imperfect vessels, we have the power of God in our life. In another spot in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul will pen these words. He will say, For the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts. I'm going to explain to you where Paul got that phrase from in just a minute, but I just want to take a brief pit stop right here. The God that said, let light shine out of darkness, the same God that created the expanse of the universe and the galaxies that fill the universe, the same God who created our solar system to be planted in our galaxy, the same God who created the sun to cast its light in our solar system, the same God who said, let there be light in a moment, has filled you with the same power, the same mystery, the same strength and authority with which he created the entire world. But Eddie, I can't shine my light. I'm not bright enough. Eddie, I can't shine my light. I am too imperfect. Eddie, I can't shine my light. I fail far too many times. I can't shine my light. I'm not good enough. I can't shine my light because I never win the battle of good and evil inside of me. Stop for a minute, please, and don't embrace all the things you can't do. I want you to embrace the things you can do. And the things you can do is to depend on the power of the Holy Ghost, who has filled you with a power, a light that is just as great and has just as much power and authority as the voice that created the light in the first place. This is resonating so much in my spirit today, and that's probably why you look at me and go, you need to relax, dude. You need to settle down. I will when I'm done. The same God who said, let there be light in the universe, has said, let there be light in you. And so, yes, you are all of those imperfect things. You are all of those things that don't measure up, add up, or anything else. But the Bible also tells us this beautiful verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the light that is in you than the darkness that is in the world. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 is the creation narrative. It is in that creation narrative where we read, when Jesus saw chaos, when Jesus saw disorder, when Jesus saw darkness was on the face of the planet, it was in that moment where he came and he said, there is going to be a moment where life will be born out of death. There is going to be a moment where light comes out of darkness. There is going to be a moment where order comes out of chaos. And he looked in that moment in only a way that God can do. And he said, the very first thing he said was, let there be light. And Genesis says, and there was light. And it's separated into morning and evening, called the first day. What God did on creation was he gave boundaries to the darkness. He said, darkness, you are no longer able to have free reign and full control over all of this, because I'm going to create light. And light is going to put some fences around you, darkness. Light is going to give you some boundaries, and there's going to be lines that you cannot cross. There are going to be limits to which you are not able to go across, because darkness, you are now limited. You are no longer able to rule. The darkness will not rule the light. The light will now rule the darkness. It goes on in the creation narrative to say that God created a sun and a moon. The sun, the greater light, to rule the day. The moon, the lesser light, to rule the night. Now, I want to tell you this right now. Consider this with me this morning. We all have seen, well, hopefully you're not looking directly at the sun because that's a little bit foolish, but we've all seen the sun. It rules the day. My wife and I were driving into town the other day, and it was one of those overcast days, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was up, and it was cloudy enough to where you could look up at the sun and it didn't hurt your eyes, and you could see this perfectly round shape, so bright. How many of you have seen that before? Just look at it and go, that's just really cool. Anybody think that's cool? Okay, we're a bunch of weirdos, and that's good place to be. God created the sun, created the moon. The sun is at the center of our solar system. And science really is mesmerizing to me. I am intrigued by the science of everything. And the sun is at the center of our solar system. Everything revolves around it. We have life on planet Earth because we are at the perfect spot away from the sun, not too close, not too far away, where life is able to be sustained. Every other planet in our solar system does not have the same benefits that we have of sustaining, creating life. God creates life. Earth sustains it, just to clarify my words. And the moon, so we have these two things, the sun, and the sun has everything about it to generate light and heat and all of this stuff. And it was given charge over the day. The moon is given charge over the night. Now, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence today, but I have to say it this way. Do you know that the moon is incapable of creating its own light? There is nothing about the moon that would enable it to create any kind of light whatsoever. Its surface was created in such a way, its only ability is to reflect the light that is cast upon it. And so if we could think of it this way, the moon is only as bright as the sun will allow it to be. And as the moon goes through its stages, at its brightest, those full bright winter moons that we've seen over the last couple weeks, you can look outside and you have to get darker curtains because they shine right into your window. You can't sleep right at night. That moon does not generate its own light. It only can reflect what has shined upon it. So if I could break it down this way for us, spiritually speaking, the darkness does not rule the day. The day rules the darkness. The moon does not determine how bright the sun is. The sun determines how bright the moon is. It was designed that way because God has always designed darkness to be ruled by the light. That is the way it has always been since its inception. Darkness was made to be ruled by the power and the authority of the light. How does the light rule darkness? Because God gave it authority to rule over the darkness. He did it in the creation narrative. That's how it happens. The moon, the stars, the sun, the planets, the galaxies, the universe operates because God commanded it to operate with the authority of His voice. The same light that controls the brightness of the moon, the same light that was given its ability to shine by the authority of the Word of God, is the same light that dwells inside the life of a believer. How does it dwell there? Because the authority of God, the voice of God Almighty, spoke that light into existence into your life. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. It's called the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you this morning that that light that is inside of you, just like the sun, just like the light that was created in Genesis chapter 1, was never ever intended to be ruled by the darkness. The light that is inside of you was made and has the power and the authority to rule over every ounce of darkness that our world could ever see. No matter what the enemy, the devil, the ruler of darkness. Sometimes I tell you, can we just get so real with one another this morning? This section, how many of you know that it seems like sometimes the devil just does whatever he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and it seems like nobody can stop him? Yeah? How many times you know in your own personal life, this section, that the enemy just does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and it seems to impact you on every side, whether it's family, life, whatever. It just seems like the devil can do whatever he wants to do. How many of you live in a world that know that sometimes that's what it feels like? That's what it seems like. How many of you know there's situations in the battlefield of your mind or your spirit where the devil is just having free reign? He's like beating the snot out of you, and it doesn't matter what's going on. The armor of God is on, but the helmet's all dinged, the shield's all messed up, and you still got fire burning on the arrows that are sticking in the shield of faith. And sometimes you feel like the enemy's knocked the knees out from under you, and all you can do is kneel as you just get beat up by the enemy because it seems like there's no boundaries or no lines. How many of you know what it's like to be under attack by the enemy? This section over here, you're perfect. How many of you know? How many of you know, Penny, when you get a diagnosis of an illness that the doctor says, we don't know what we're going to do. We're not sure how this is all going to work out. And the enemy comes in like a flood and said, this is it. This is it. This is it. This, you're done. All that stuff, the dreams in your heart, they're done. The dreams in your mind, they're done. The things that God has promised you, it's done. How many of you would kind of hop on board with that and say there's times where the enemy just comes in and he comes to steal all that stuff. Steal the word that God has spoken to you. Steal the word that God has spoken to you about your family. And sometimes it just feels like the enemy can do whatever he wants. Yeah? And yet we come back to this point and we realize that enemy is a defeated enemy, and he's pulling every trick out of the hat. He's pulling out every stop. He's using every lie. He's using every tactic. He's doing what he does best, and that is deceive and steal and kill and destroy. And sometimes when you feel overwhelmed by the darkness, sometimes what we need is an infusion of the Holy Spirit light of God that comes in and says, enemy, you need to be reminded that there are boundaries on you. You need to be reminded that there are limits on you. You need to be reminded that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the boundary lines set for God's people are set in pleasant places for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Enemy, there are limits on you. There are boundaries on you. Your darkness will not control my light. And I don't care how little or how wide or how small or how big my light is. I will purpose in this moment to let my light shine, because that is what I was destined to do. That's what I was built to do. And so sometimes in the authority, not our own authority, we'll get beat back every time by the enemy's schemes. But there is an authority that comes from God Almighty that will shake the gates of hell. Why will it shake the gates of hell? Because he's already conquered hell itself. The enemy no longer has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ alone holds those keys. And of the church, Jesus would say, not even the best or strongest, greatest advance from the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Man, I don't even know where I'm at in my notes, and I don't even care. I want you... Problem with not knowing where I'm at in my notes is I don't know how I'm going to end now. So let's... Hey, where's Sally? Hey, Sally, let's call in lunch. No, I want you to know, because I'm looking across an audience of people this morning, and I know a lot of you. And I know that your desire, your heart's desire, is to serve Jesus and to let that light shine, to shine your light. But I'm looking out across a lot of people that I know who, when the rubber meets the road and the butt comes out of the seat and goes and gets in the car, you go through this battlefield in your mind. You go through this battle in your spirit. And the enemy comes at you and at you and at you. And I know that it's difficult to let our light shine. And I know what it means to get excited and energized about what's being said on a Sunday. And I know what it's like to want to resign on a Monday morning. I know what that's like. I've been working on this singular message for 4 weeks, pouring over it. It may not seem like it, but I have. Pouring over it. And I'm telling you, as I've studied and as I've wrote things down, as I've talked to Shireen and my wife and my dad about my heart for the series, I'm telling you that it has resonated with my spirit. It has resonated to the core of who I am. Because we live in a day and an hour where the enemy has tried to deceive us into thinking that he's won. But the darkness cannot control the light. Darkness cannot overwhelm the light. The light always wins. The light always shines. And even if I were to take this light bulb out and throw it on the ground and break it in a way that only the Holy Spirit can do, He would give me another light bulb and I could plug it in and that light would still shine. Because some of you feel like you have been broken. Some of you feel like that filament inside, the truth inside of you has been severed and it's cutting off the light supply and you're not shining because you've been hurt, because you've been broken, because there have been promises that have been not kept. There have been things that have happened in your life that aren't anybody's fault necessarily. It's just life, but you're broken and you're shattered. And can I tell you though this morning that God has come to mend the broken. God has come to mend the shattered. God has come to take that vessel that you are, as broken and as hurting as it may be, and to bind you together with the sole purpose of putting the glory and the power of God in your life so that you can let your light shine. That is the power and the authority of the light. That is what the light can do. That is what the light longs to do. And that is what the light needs to do, not just in this house, but in the world that we live in. I agree with Pastor that maybe we're just optimists. I don't know. But I believe that the best days of the church are yet to come. Why do I believe that? Because it's a cool thing to say? No. Because this says that the best days of the church are yet to come. And until God comes back and creates everything new in only a way that He can do, the church will prevail. The light will shine. The gospel will be shared. Lives will be touched. People will know the love and the salvation of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we get to be part of the greatest movement that has ever existed on the face of the planet when we say yes to Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I believe the best days of the church are yet to come. We're done. That's it. We're done today. Josh, what are you doing? Awesome. Thought Josh was maybe, I don't know what you were doing, but thanks for coming. I do want to do this. I want to challenge you this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken something into your spirit that He's sure doing something in mine. And so I hope that will be contagious. And as we go through this series together, that God would do something inside of us. That we love to say it here, that what happens at Landmark doesn't stay at Landmark. We're not Vegas. What happens in Vegas can stay in Vegas, but what happens at Landmark doesn't stay at Landmark. I'd like to think there's people in your world that need to see your little light shine. I would like to think that there's people in your family and in your workplace that need you to let your light shine. I want to encourage you this week. As I've tried to do, I would like you to do. I'd like you to try to memorize Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I'd like you to place that in your memory. Read it every single day. Let's read it through the entirety of the series. Let's make this our theme. Let your light shine. Memorize that scripture. I'd like to also encourage you to write some things down. God, there's things in my life where I need your light to shine. There's situations in my family that I need your light to shine. There's a situation in my job, at school, with a friend, on my sports teams, at the Rotary, at the food bank meeting, at the whatever it is. Situations, God, I need your light to shine. And let me, God, empower me to be that light. Where do we go from here? Well, in ways that I'm not going to make a big old list, we need to go out and we need to let our light shine. That looks really different. I want to close with just two examples, and the very personal examples between me and Stacy. I go to Starbucks every single Sunday morning if I'm able. I've come to make a lot of friends there. And one of the young ladies who is a barista, I've discovered she's a single mom, doing her best to raise a baby, works hard, long hours. If you were to watch her work, you'd say, man, this girl's a hard worker. And I've gotten to know her a little bit. We've chatted. And how do you let your light shine? Well, maybe you could use part of my example and do this somewhere else. This morning she was talking, we were chatting, and she said, I said, how you doing? Man, I'm tired. My little guy was sick, putting in lots of hours. I'm not getting a lot of sleep. And I'm just tired. And so I just walked over to her and I put my arm around her and I said, you know what? It's going to be all right. You're going to get your rest. Little guy's going to, I think it's a boy. Little boy's going to get better. But I just want to let you know that I appreciate what you do. You're such a hard worker. And I want to let you know I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your boy. And but now you're going to get back to work and I'm going to write this message and hopefully I'll see you next Sunday. Well, what was that? That was letting your light shine. Last night we were finishing some things up here at church and got late. So Stacy and Christina and I went to Mod Pizza, and standing in line, one of our Battleground Police Department officers came up and stood next to me and started talking, and my mommy and daddy raised me right, I'd like to think. And so I told her, you know what, I want to thank you for serving our city. I know you don't have an easy job, and I want to thank you for that. And I said, my wife and I are one of the pastors at Landmark right across from Dutch Brothers and been here a long time. And so we just started talking, and she shared a very personal story with me about an interaction. Her husband is also a police officer, and without sharing too many details, he was in a gun exchange and he took a criminal's life. And first time in 20 years that it ever happened, it really hit hard. And she was talking to me about this. I said, well, you know what? I want you to know that not just our church, but so many churches in Battleground, we pray for you. We pray for our police department, our firefighters, our first responders. We pray for you. And we appreciate what you do. Please tell your husband that we'll pray for him. And that was a blessing, I'm sure. But the reality was, when she got to the register, my wife had seen this whole thing happening right there in a way that only Stacy can do. She decided, you know, we're just going to buy her dinner for her, and she's not going to know and probably not know at all. Stacy bought her dinner. She came up to pay. The guy at the register said, it's been paid for. She went on her separate way. But what did you do? We've let our light shine. In really simple, meaningful ways, we let our light shine. Let's not make this complicated. I kept you over, and I'm sorry. I'm preaching next week, I think, if I'm not grounded. Let your light shine. Stand with me this morning. Let's close in prayer. Hey, by the way, good job back there, Josh. I just want to say a short prayer together and invite you to pray in your hearts with me as I do so, and pray for, let's just pray for one another. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for the message of the light. We pray that we would operate in your power and your wisdom, and that you would make us consciously aware of any way possible that we can let our light shine. Big, small, it just doesn't matter. We just need to let our light shine. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for everything that you have done. Let this message resonate in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody agree and say amen? Amen. Hey, thanks for coming to church today. I love you lots. Greet somebody on the way out. Love on them. Handshake, high five, whatever might be appropriate. We thank you for coming. Pray a blessing on you. You are dismissed.